You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. The show. You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kick.
All right, how you doing, everyone? Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, along with my partner today, two-time Super Bowl champion David Deal. And it is what it is. And what it is 1-8, and you go from there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was beyond disappointing watching that game. I was on a flight home from Colorado after calling the freaking shootout of a Boise State 59-52 win over Colorado State. And just sitting there on the airplane, I'm watching on DirecTV and figure I'm flying from Denver to Newark.
Right.
I'm watching on DirecTV right in front of me. And I got Giants fans coming up to me. Are you watching this? I'm like, you see it on in front of me. Of course I'm watching it. But, I mean, it was beyond difficult to watch. I mean, you know, offensively, just absolutely no rhythm, no cohesiveness. And it just was inconsistent play. And on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, just discipline. Breakdowns on the back end. Lack of effort completely by Janoris Jenkins. I don't mind calling people out. I said, well, you know, I've always talked about it. If it comes to something, whether I'm calling a game or watching a game, you're going to get beat. The other guys on the other side of the field get paid money to do what they do. So you're going to get beat at times.
Right.
But not like that.
No.
Not when it comes to heart and effort and representing this organization the way that it should be. And the play that killed me the most was the C.J. Beathard touchdown scrambling bootleg to the right down in the goal line.
You know, I didn't discuss it. That's what bothered
me. This is C.J. Beathard. This is not Michael Vick closing in on the corner of a pylon. And the fact that three, four defenders are not closing in to make a tackle, and they're actually backing up, giving them space. And I know we saw it in that game with JPP, where in that play he was dropping back into coverage. And we saw it on Sunday night for the Broncos with Von Miller. When you have Jason Pierre-Paul and Von Miller dropping back, who are your premier pass rushers, there's issues going on the defensive side of the ball.
Right. Now, listen, it is, as I said, it is what it is. It's 1-8. It is – you can't defend that.
No.
There is no defending it.
No, and as much as I want to sit here and for us to sit here and have dialogue like we always do, you know, just like when I was a player, good, bad, and different, where was I always after a game? I was always at my locker talking.
Well, I want to tell you something, and that is one of the reasons you just hit the nail on the head, okay? And you're an ex-player,
yeah.
And I'm the guy who was covering you.
Yeah.
And I do remember that. There is one thing – listen, DRC was suspended
yep.
a few games back, but I got to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, he's a man's man.
Yeah, he came back and he responded
and,
the right
and
way.
Ever since then, but he stands up. Answers questions.
Yep.
Now listen, you know I'd rather it be 8-1 and he doesn't
of
have
course.
To answer those questions.
Of course,
but
at least he was a man and stood in front of the crowd and handled himself the right way. And where I was going with that is, good, bad, and different. Humble in victory, modest in defeat. And when it comes to this right now, when it comes to us talking now, as much as you and I would love, I want to talk to the fans. Fans, whether you're doing it on Giants Chan or you call in. Do you guys deserve to be heard? This is as a giant organization, and for me, sitting here as a part of this organization for 15 years, you know, as hard as it is when you lose to hear the fan reaction, the positiveness, the loyalty, the love for this organization outweighed any of those times in my career ever. So when it comes to times like this, I love talking to the fans. Fans come up to me and ask me questions, and I'm honest with them because I bleed blue just like them. I have everything invested just like they do as fans. And for the fans right now that want to be heard, call. We'll answer questions. We'll do anything you want right now in regards to the team, where they're at, the state of the team, because you guys deserve to be heard.
Now,
Sundays would never be the same in Giants Stadium if it wasn't for the support and love of the people that come around this stadium and that have built generation after generation, family after families that come out and work their asses off to spend money and pay for season tickets, You guys deserve better.
Well, without question. And listen, everybody deserves better. Ownership deserves better.
No question.
Everybody deserves better. And speaking of the ownership, listen, I tweeted this out. I put it on Facebook yesterday. While, quote unquote, it was not the popular decision, or might not have been the popular decision yesterday by not making a move, I do believe, and I said that I thought it was the right decision, because at this juncture, I don't think anything gets fixed. I think when everything is at its absolute, when the fire is at its absolute hottest,
yep,
when it's burning absolutely white hot, that's when you can't make your decision on that. When the fans, when you the fans and the media are at your angriest, that's not when you can make a decision. You have to take a deep breath, which is what I think ownership did.
Yeah.
We're going to ascertain everything and everybody from now to the end and move forward from there.
Everybody, I mean,
Band-Aids don't fix it.
No, Band-Aids don't fix hemorrhages.
That's exactly right.
And when it comes to this, like we were talking about last week, from everybody to top down, everybody's under a microscope. And it's up to you to perform and represent this organization with Giants pride the way that it deserves and should be done. And when it came to the decision, I support John Mara, Steve Tisch, this organization in any way, shape, or form. And when you really think about it, and when you thought about what people were going into, if that was the possibility, so let's say they did do that. Well, the way that the defense performed on Sunday, you couldn't hand it to Coach Spagnuolo to be the interim coach. So then that would put it on Coach Tom Quinn, the special teams coach, which we saw that done last year in Los Angeles with Coach Fossil's son,
right,
who ended up taking over for Jeff Fisher. And they completely lost all focus as a team.
Well, that's the point. That's, as you just said, I love that quote.
Where
from
do you go?
A Band-Aid doesn't fix a hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And right now at 1-8, you could say it's hemorrhaging. I don't think that would be a reach. But you cannot. Lou Lamoriello, former president and GM of the Devils. Architect of Stanley Cup championship teams and now is up in Toronto. He told me a long time ago, listen, the fans are your base.
Yeah.
But you cannot make a decision when the fans are angry and the media is coming at you. That's not when you can make your decision based on those emotions, because subsequently it becomes the wrong decision. You have to listen to them.
Yep.
You have to take it into consideration, but then you have to take everything else into consideration and move forward. And moving forward right now is there's 7 games left, starting with Kansas City, and that's when you start assessing. Not that they haven't been assessing season long, but there are 7 games left. What do you say we open up the phone lines, my friend?
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. Let's stay in Jersey right now and speak with Chris. Chris, how are we doing today?
What's up? Well, my first time talking to you. Welcome aboard to the Giants Fan Network. How are you tonight?
Good. How you doing?
Hello, Mr. Deal. How are you? I've always appreciated your play.
Thank you very much. And then, like, I hope you've been listening to us and, you know, talk to us, ask questions.
I haven't spoken to you guys much this season, but I'm pretty much of a regular. I have not been happy with the season. And, Russ, I'll tell you right now, I'm not angry. I was angry. I was angry when Reese has a quarterback like Eli Manning who can't run, okay, can't scramble, can't jump up in the air, stumbles on his own feet when he runs for a first down, can't make the first down, and Mr. Reese does not address the offensive line. You want to talk about evaluation? There's an evaluation for you right there.
But Chris, listen to me. I hear you.
There's no but, Ross. There's no but.
No, there is a but, Chris.
Hold
so just
on,
listen.
Hold
we're
on,
having a discussion.
Everybody.
We're having a discussion, okay? The but is this. It is now, we just finished, we're at 1-8, okay? You just finished the 9th game, okay?
Yeah.
Chris, let me finish, and then you can speak, okay? Slow down here.
And I'll moderate at the end.
Because, number one, I got an offensive lineman and a two-time Super Bowl champ sitting next to me. Okay. So understand this. We know about the offensive line, okay? But since we're coming off of a debacle, the offensive line is not what cost you this past Sunday, as my friend here said. That the defense was Swiss cheese. They forgot
that
how to tackle.
That's going to be my second comment.
Oh, okay. Well, we know about the offensive line, so what's your second comment?
My second comment was everybody came back. We almost had a full defense. They're quitters. There are some guys on that defense that are quit. Kadarius Jenkins should not even be in the lineup anymore. He's quit on this team. He, in my personal opinion, one of them watching football since 1956 and a ticket holder since 1973. Mm-hmm. And my uncles have been ticket holders since the 40s. So I know a little bit about football. I play football. This guy quit. There's a couple of anonymous guys in this locker room. And, Mr. Deal, I'd love for you to address that after I'm done. I got one more short comment after this. You got quitters on this team. And in my circle of friends.
Chris, you're rolling. You might as well just ask me all three, and I'll get them all done at the end of it. So just keep going.
Well, that's how I normally make the call. The future of this team is, I agree with Mr. Mara, that we should not do anything until we have full evaluation at the end of the year. Now, some evaluation has already been made. When you have quitters on your team, the evaluation's already made.
No question.
Now we need to put in David Webb in a couple of weeks, maybe get him acclimated to what's going on.
Davis Webb.
And move forward and evaluate what we have as far as second and third stringers. And those that maintain character, those are the guys, the nucleus, those are the guys that you want to keep. Russ, I didn't mean to get on you like
that. No, you're fired up, Chris. Yeah. We get it, Chris. Don't worry about it, man. Yeah. And that's why.
Four tickets that we go. We own four season tickets in prime locations.
Right.
This is nuts.
Yeah,
this is nuts.
And that's why.
I love you guys. I love to hear what you got to say.
All right, Chris. Thank you.
And that's why I said right from the get-go, I said, this show's about you. I call, ask these questions, and you deserve to be fired up. You deserve to show the emotions that you are right now. And we're just saying, everybody, we're listening to you. If anybody feels the way that you guys do, it's me. It's Russ who's been a part of this. So, you know, listen, number one, in regards to the offensive line, you know, they went into the season thinking that they would get things figured out on the outside, that the youth, the continuity among the offensive line, bringing DJ Fluker in to compete at those positions, that it was going to help. Bobby Hart has been completely inconsistent. He does not have confidence in his technique and his play. And therefore, that's when we saw the best combination was to move Justin Pugh to the right tackle position and put in John Jerry and DJ Fluker. We know Fluker's a road grader in the run game, but has had issues in pass protection and technique, getting beat on the outside and getting press. In regards to Eric Flowers, we talked about his constant improvement. Does anybody realize he hasn't given up a sack since week two?
You know what? Thank you. Because that is a point that has – and listen.
And granted, he has not been perfect, but what are you seeing more out of him? Technique, consistency, a guy willing to fight and start throwing his hands. And, yes, this is a problem that it's going to be addressed, the offensive line moving forward, and it is still the same type of issues that took place in 15, 16, 17. So you know that's an area that's going to get addressed. In regards to the defensive side of the ball, that was the biggest disappointment watching that game.
Without question.
Watching that play, it was a complete disappointment, and I'm in agreement with you. If I was the head coach, I wouldn't play Janoris Jenkins.
No.
He does not want to be out on the field. It's clear that he doesn't want to be out on the football field. And, yes, moving forward, do I think that Eli Manning should be benched? Absolutely not. Has he played well? No. The last game and this game, has he not played well? Yes, he hasn't played well. But has he been getting hit? Has he been getting crushed? Have they had a consistent run game? No. So everybody has their fingerprint on where they are right now. And it is up to them, which they have a microscope on them, whether they want to realize the fact that it is a privilege and not a right to be in the NFL. Because I am going to tell you this, at the end of this season, from the time that the adversity hit in this year till the end, it's not only the Giants organization, but 31 other teams are sitting there watching film of you as a player individual.
Well, that's the whole other thing.
And
the
eye in the sky does not lie. And your characteristics, without what you say, whatever you do and put out there, what you put on film from this point forward, may be the dictation of who you are as a football player for the rest of your career.
Well, I mean, the point was, and you brought, you, in particular, the defense. Listen, the reason I just got into it, you know, wanted to, when I said to Chris, but we always start with the offensive line. This was not the offensive line that cost us the football game, or cost the Giants the football game on Sunday. It clearly, you know, everybody on defense needed to go back in that locker room and look squarely in the mirror, because that was terrible to see. Charles in New Mexico. Charles, how are we doing today?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, Charles.
What's up, Charles?
What's up, Charlie?
You know, let's just go over this. Die hard since 5 years old. You know, I call in a lot. I live here in New Mexico.
Right,
and
right.
My kids know I have a passion. You know, pull the hats out, get the T-shirt on, got the Giant socks on.
Right.
No more. Right. Watching the Niner game was just heartbreaking. Those guys quit. And I know you guys say that Mar and Tisch evaluated to wait to the season, but there's no fire in this team. And you don't think letting McAdoo go and even Spags, because the defense looks horrible, would maybe bring some fire, some desire back to these guys?
Charles, let me ask you a question, okay? And you've called several times. You're a terrific fan and a dedicated fan. Now, let's just talk from a business standpoint. You just said two things here. You wanted to get rid of the head coach and the defensive coordinator. And do you think that was going to bring fire? To me, that would, you know what, that would have been a giant sinkhole.
Okay, well, we're in one right now.
I'm not disputing that. But as I said, if you heard me earlier, it's no Band-Aid. You need to ascertain everything.
Yep.
You need to go back to week one, go to where you are now at 1-8, and then look at the last seven games, and then figure out everything. And I guarantee you, without anybody saying to me, Charles, and you know what, you've called often enough, and I know you're not just a good fan, you're a smart fan. You know that they're looking at this situation, saying, "Man, I mean, when you watch that game." I was scratching my head saying, wow, there's a lot wrong here. A lot needs to be fixed. They have to address everything. Listen.
And I think the way that you saw John Mara at that game on Sunday was telltale enough.
Yeah.
I mean, to see him it made me sick to my stomach. And it reminded me the times of when I would walk in, regardless whether you know me as a player. Every single game I sold out, there wasn't a stone unturned in regard to my preparation, and that was my competitive advantage, was that I walked away from each and every game without having a regret. And even still doing that, when I would walk into the locker room, even if it was a close game, I couldn't look at Wellington Mara because I felt like I disappointed him. And that's what you have to realize as a player here and part of this organization. This is different. You're at a different organization. This is the New York Football Giants that you play for and that you are representing. And you need to represent it the right way. And I think that's something that we'll see and that we're going to see moving forward, not only with this organization, but with other organizations that have had success in 07 and 11. Think about how many players on our roster were in their second contract and were homegrown New York Giants that understood what it meant to be a New York Giant. That's what needs to be done moving forward, is be built from the inside out. Get guys that have been here before and realize the magnitude of what you're a part of.
You know, Charlie, let me ask you this. Go ahead, but let me just ask you one question.
Go ahead.
You've heard the expression several times, you know, you can't get rid of all the players, so you get rid of the coach. But you know something? Sometimes when you do that, you're sending the wrong message. And you know what that message is? That especially to the guys that you're viewing, guys that might be quitters or some anonymous guys, if indeed they do exist, then you're saying, well, you know what? Then the bad guys win. You follow what I'm saying? That's an easy thing to do.
I follow what you're saying. And these other fans that call in, and two questions and I'll end it. Eli hasn't played well, but like you said, Dave, he's been getting smacked around.
Oh.
And this weekend when he starts against the Chiefs, another milestone, second all-time for most consecutive starts. He's seventh all-time in passing yardage. You guys got to give him a break. He's got wide receivers around him that are young, and he's doing the best he can. But he's getting whacked around, and it's scary.
Are you telling me I got to give him a break? I'm the last person that's criticizing Eli, man.
And you know what, Charles? I'll let Dave answer this one.
Okay.
When I look at the entire team, when I looked at that game, Eli, whatever you want to criticize, one thing about Eli Manning does not play scared.
Nope.
And I don't think you can say that about a lot of the other Giants on this team right now.
And they look scared. And, Dave, just one more question. In the locker room, since they're 1-8, is there a desire to go out there and do your best? Or the desire is, hey, let's not get hurt and let's see where we're at next season?
I'll tell you what, number one, when you have that desire to not get hurt, that's when you get hurt and yourself and your performance is completely poor. It's when you start playing the game like that because you're not selling out. When you do that, you don't finish through the whistle and keep moving your feet, and that's where people get hurt. And the other thing is for you as a football player, you're either going to be a part of the solution or you are a part of the problem. You're playing for your career right now. You're playing for your job and security for the next 2-3 years right now, because what you put on film will never go away. And this is the thing that, you know, I've talked about in regards to Eli Manning. Obviously, seventh player in history to throw for over 50K. He's starting a consecutive streak, which just goes to show you who he is as a quarterback. But these are reasons why he is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. Manning has as many postseason wins, 8, as Steve Young. Manning has 106 completions in our 11 run in the postseason. That's most in NFL history. 12th all-time career passer rating. 5 game-winning drives in his postseason career, which ties Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. I'd say those guys are pretty good.
Fair.
4 fourth-quarter comebacks in the playoffs are as tied as many as John Elway. Oh, and then should we just keep going and going about the things that he's doing? I mean, he's doing this, and this is a player that you have never heard complain about a different combination of O-line. Which running back is healthy? Which one's going to be in? Different receiving corps. You have never heard him once in his career complain about that, and you can't say that about a lot of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL.
Without question. Listen, as I said, and I mean that, I was watching that game, and I'm saying to myself, one thing about Eli Manning, and you could say that all season long, listen, he's not a ballet dancer, okay? We know he doesn't have those kind of feet. But Eli Manning does not play scared. And what I was looking at Sunday were a lot of guys playing scared, in particular on defense. I mean, I wrote down a few things. How about runs after the catch?
Yep.
You know, how about lack of tackling? How about no pressure on the quarterback? How about giving up huge plays?
Yep. No.
You know, that's not rocket science. That was pretty basic to me.
No.
201-939-4513 is the number. Let's go to Bam Bam, our friend in Rockland County. Bam Bam, what's up?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Bam?
What's up, Bam Bam?
It was Dave, it was good to hear you talking about the fans earlier, because just this morning I'm looking on Twitter and I see Snacks telling a fan that, you know, if they don't want to come to the games the rest of the year, don't come back, you know, when the team is good. And it's little things like that that have just kind of really made this season unbearable. But my call is actually for Russ.
Hold on, and I just want to ask you to go with that, Bam Bam. Once again, did he start his tenure as a New York Giant?
No, he did not.
Thank
he
you.
Did not.
Keep going, Bam
and, you know,
Bam.
That's actually a great point, and it's a thing kind of lost. And this last year, Reese got lauded for the free agent class that he brought in. But it should never get to the point where you got to go out and spend that kind of money on the free agent market on one side of the ball, or really across the board in your team in one offseason. It's a sign that things are going poorly. And you're right, those guys aren't Giants. They're football players playing for the Giants.
Well, nobody was saying that, though, last year, Bam Bam. Nobody was saying that going into this year. So, listen, you make a fair point, but
Russ,
let's be fair about it.
Devil's advocate. That's almost like your shtick here.
Well,
is that
what?
I'm not employed by the team. And you know what? I was disappointed that they went out and signed it. Now, yes, the returns were good, but overall, it's easy to get caught up as a fan in general. It's never a good idea to build your team through free agency. Is that correct?
Well, listen, everybody would agree with that. But you know what? They did it last year, and it paid major dividends. All I'm saying to you is that nobody was complaining about those the money that was spent last year. Nobody was complaining about that.
No, but everybody was complaining about the shape of the roster, and the idea that they had to go out and spend that money was an indictment of the roster.
Okay. No, I'm not going to argue with that. Nobody was complaining about the roster at great length last year, Bam Bam. What else?
Yeah. So my call actually was for you, Russ. I called in a few months ago, and I said I'm going to be 32 years old in February, and I said that McAdoo is going to be my generation's Ray Hanley, and you scoffed at the notion.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing because I was
there. Personal beef with Hanley.
What'd you say?
Is that because you have a personal beef with
I didn't have a personal beef with Hanley. Ray Hanley had a personal beef with me. That's number one, okay? That is number one. Number two, Ray Hanley came into into his job, okay? He never had an 11-5 season. He was following Bill Parcells, and bam, bam, he thought he could be Bill Parcells. So quite frankly, at 32, and I'm not telling you you can't be a fan, but if you're going to give me a history lesson, you weren't around when that was going on. And quite frankly, he was a weird dude, a crazy guy. And
you don't think Ben McAdoo's a weird dude?
Bam Bam. Why is he a weird dude? Because he's losing?
I'll tell you why he's a weird dude. Number one.
Let me ask you a question, Bam Bam. Do you think Bill Belichick is a weird dude?
I actually know him personally, so no.
Oh, Mazel Tov. So you know him personally.
Yeah.
So because you know him personally, that makes him a normal guy. I'll tell you what. If Bill Belichick was not winning all those Super Bowls, he would be viewed as the weirdest dude, Bam Bam. So thank you for the call, but really, give me a break with that.
Again. You're going to kick me off now, huh?
No, whatever. Go ahead.
I don't know what just happened. All right, who else we got? Well, fire it up on a Tuesday.
Well, hold on. We just lost. Let me get our thing back up. I mean, do me a favor, folks. You want to criticize the Giants? As I've said, there is no defending 1-8. There's no defending what they did the last 2 weeks. But for crying out loud, don't sit here and call me and say, well, what they did with the defense last year with signing up on free agency. I mean, nobody was complaining about the three of those guys. Nobody. And in fairness to Snacks Harrison, let me tell you something. Here's a guy who was vehement last week coming out calling whoever was making anonymous quotes a coward.
I said that.
A lot of guys, do me a favor. There are a lot of guys you can have problems with. Snacks Harrison is not one guy to have a problem with. Because, for lack of a better term, he plays his ass off, hustles, and he's a man. Okay?
I'm not saying that, but yeah, I don't agree with the tweet back saying that if you leave now, don't come back.
I'm not.
I'm just saying that.
But you know what? That's one guy I can cut a little slack for. Because you know what? Everybody's got emotions, too.
Of course.
You know, Dave, you're sitting here as a member of us, and I couldn't agree with you more, inviting, you know, fans and what to call
no
in
question.
And this and that. But you know what? At 1-8, see, you got to look at both sides. I'm not saying you don't, but at 1-8, if you were a player at 1-8 and they're beating you down and the media's coming at you and the fans are coming at you.
I've had that help, and I've had all those things happen.
Exactly. And, you know, the stance becomes a bit different.
Of course.
Shakes in Baltimore. What's up? What's shaking, Shakes?
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Everything is not good in Giantland.
You think?
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, what's going on, David Dill, man?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm a big fan of yours. And it's a question that I have for both of y'all. Well, I have a couple of things I wanted to say. But here's the thing. Okay, so 2011, I'm not sure if it was 2011 or 2007. It's one of those Super Bowl stints. Eli Manning had took a beating in a playoff game against the 49ers. Which one was that? That was 2011?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what, Shakes?
And first of all, I was a part of that. And
I know. That's
two,
why I brought it up. But go ahead, Rod.
We threw 70 times up against one of the best defense I've ever played up against in my life.
I remember.
And what happened to Alex Smith that game? How many times was he hit and sacked? How many times did they convert on third down? Yeah.
It was going back and forth, right? It was a very good defensive game.
Yeah.
So, but my point was this, though. I think Russ wanted to say something, but my point was this. 2011, he took a beating from the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't remember him ever taking a bigger beating than that, quite frankly.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Here's the thing, though. When Eli took that beating, how many in that game, how many times, even in that season, but in that game specifically, how many times did he just stood in a pocket and he made sure that the guys ran their routes and he had confidence to let them run their routes and say, okay, I will have enough time to get the ball off. This season, last season, he's not doing that. You see him jittery in the pocket. You see him moving around, and that is not Eli. When you want to win with Eli, you got to give him a pocket to be able to construct and dissect these defenses. And these last two seasons has not been the case with this offensive line. It's been horrible. It's been terrible. You have Jerry on the line. You have guys like Bobby Hart on the line, and it's ridiculous. And to me, that's a fireable offense for them to give Eli that type of pocket later in his career. It is horrible. It is horrible what they're doing to Eli, and the people that are calling the shots need to go.
Yeah,
that was my whole point of it.
Well, Shake, so listen, you've called several times. Let me ask you this.
Absolutely.
You're a good fan. Let me ask you this, because it leaves me scratching my head a little bit. You're calling up, and you've called before about it, and you got an offensive lineman, a darn good one, sitting next to me. Now,
yes,
we know, in particular, earlier on, the offensive line was a huge, huge problem. People are calling up these last 2 weeks like the narrative hasn't changed. The last 2 weeks has not been on the offensive line.
It hasn't been a positive.
No, but that's what I'm talking about.
Right? But it's not the main problem. The main problem is McAdoo and his play calling. That's the main problem. And that's why he has to go. I don't even know why he's still here.
Well, he's here because, Shakes, the team, you heard from ownership, they're going to ascertain the entire situation at the end of the season. No, excuse me, let me correct that. They're going to view the entire season as one, okay? They're going to view an entire 16-game schedule. They've got the first 1-8 to go with, which is certainly not anything that they're going to like seeing. Then they're going to view the next 7 games and view it all together and see what's wrong. But remember something. I mean, like callers are calling. Somebody called before. Maybe it was Charles from New Mexico. Well, you're going to get rid of a head coach and a defensive coordinator to shake things up, to light a fire?
And Shakes, I think that's the most. I think that was the most difficult position because of where they're at right now. Because, you know, initially when you thought about this, and if this would have taken place, who do you go to? You would have gone to Coach Steve Spagnuolo to be the interim head coach. But based upon the way that the defense played these last 2 weeks, you can't do that. So then you would all the way go down to Coach Tom Quinn to be the interim head coach. Well,
that makes no sense.
That's the point.
That's what I'm saying.
That makes no sense. You
can't move to that point. And where that has been done before, even like I said, when you go to last year when Coach Fossil's son took over in Los Angeles for the Rams, he took over those last 4 games. It was awful. I covered one of those games, and people didn't even feel like they wanted to show up game day because of the lack of motivation coming from a special teams coach who's really never been in those meeting rooms with those guys. So to be able to try to turn that over and to be able to have some type of production where you can still maintain some level of execution and do it at a high chance, I mean, regardless of what players are on the field or not, that's a big task to try to put on someone.
Shakes, a change for the sake of just making a change, to me, does more harm than good. Now, if you...
I agree, but I think the head coach needs to be gone, and I'm a big Spags dude. I say give him the rest of the year.
Shakes, how do you give him the rest of the year when you watch the film of Sunday's game up against the 49ers? That's
to
his
me,
defense.
To me,
those
to,
are his guys.
Right,
Shakes,
right,
okay,
I,
hold
I,
on.
Agree,
I'm
going to
ask
right?
you one question, Shakes.
Hey,
Shakes, please
hey,
let
hey.
Me ask you a question. Shakes, you're okay. the defensive coordinator. You see Janoris Jenkins playing like that. What do you do? You pull him out of the game. Did he get pulled out of the game?
If I'm Spags, I bench him. But
Hold on. No, Shakes. In that game, you clearly see. You've got the tablets out there now. You see exactly what's going on.
I watched it.
So then if you're the defensive coordinator, you just said it. You would have pulled him out of that game. He didn't get pulled out of that game. So how can, after that happens, how can you hand over an interim head coach job to somebody? You can't.
Okay. You know, Shakes, you talk
I get you, but.
But you say you get him.
It's not a head coach to really take that guy out. Right?
No, so that's the defensive coordinator.
Well,
that's your defense. That is your defense.
I'm sorry.
That's your defense.
The reason,
I said, that's your defense. That's not on the head coach.
You
put in defensive ends. You rotate the system. You move a nickel. You change. That's your job as the coordinator. That isn't the head coach's job.
I got you. All right. I got you. But the thing about it is, you notice that then Janoris Jenkins, he's not playing. He's just not going to play for McAdoo. That is just obvious. He lost these players. That's why I will make the change and go ahead and do that.
Well, Shakes, God bless you. I love you, pal. But
Shakes, you just said to me when I said to you, you have to go to Coach Tom Quinn, the special teams coordinator. You go, that'd
Quinn.
Be rough,
I would not do the Tom Quinn.
And that's what I'm saying.
David,
there was no other choice.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question, and then I'll take it off of air.
Go ahead.
Okay, so, David. Being an offensive lineman, I think that you have to have a guard. You have to have nasty guards.
No question.
You was a nasty guard.
Rich Soyberg, Chris Snee, myself when I played guard. You got to finish people.
Yeah, to me, that's what we're lacking on this team. Fluka has done a great job, but he did not even start the season out as the guard. So, to me, that's in this offseason, you think that we need one of those massive, massive type of guards to go after in this offseason. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Shakes.
First and foremost, before a guard, we need a tackle. We need to get a tackle so that, number one, you know, at the end of his season, which he has played a lot better, but I do think his best side is on the right side, Eric Flowers, that you can have a cornerstone left tackle play. But that's something that we can't, as an organization right now, go and do in the draft. It has to be a veteran player who's played football in order to do that. So I would say a tackle before that. And then the next thing I would do is a linebacker.
I have to tell you, again, we know the fans are upset. We get it. Again, 1-8 is indefensible. Okay? You can't defend that. But change, for the sake of making a change, just does not make sense. It doesn't fix anything. And, in fact, many times it compounds the situation. I mean, listen to the points that David here made. And, folks, I love Spags. I think he's an excellent coach, a terrific guy. But how could you – I mean, think about it. You want to get rid of somebody and put somebody in charge whose defense has been a mess. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. 201-939-4513 is the number. Lisa in Brooklyn, how are you, my dear, today?
Hi, guys. How are you?
All right,
Lisa. Hi, Lisa. I'm still stomping. Don't worry, Lisa.
We stomped. We sang a song, and we stomped.
That's it. But, you got to do it.
I'm going to give you a few bright spots.
Boy,
okay?
God bless you.
How does he feel? Evan Engram.
Yep.
Yes.
Fantastic. I do think Eric Flowers is playing better. I have to give him. DJ Fluka. And Eli Manning, under what the kind of circumstances he's under, is having a pretty good year. Now, the defense, so disappointing. And that team, a lot of those guys on that side of the ball quit. Sad as it is to admit it, they quit. And I agree with you guys 100%. Where was Spagnuolo?
Yeah,
I watched the game and I saw Jenkins quit.
Well, I think that is unanimous.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli Apple, very poor play. Landon Collins, poor play. They look like they don't know.
Well,
but
hold on one second, Lise. Let's not lump one into the other. Poor play and quitting are two different things. Okay.
There's two different things going on, though.
No, but I'm not going to put – listen, as far as I'm concerned, there was nothing but poor play on the defensive side of the ball, with the exception of Ovi made a terrific interception. But Lisa, let's not confuse poor play with quitting. You know, I will not associate quitting on Landon Collins. I won't do that.
But there's poor play.
Two different things. Quitting is quitting. Poor play is something else.
What would you call Eli Apple? Quitting or poor play?
It's a combination of both.
Yeah.
I have no issues with saying that without hesitation.
Yeah, I don't think Eli Apple quit last week. I think it's been poor play.
Poor play.
Yeah.
Is that the secondary, though, aside from maybe DRC, I think I can't see it. I don't know if he's just lost a step or it's poor play. But I don't know. When you put on a Giant uniform, for all my years that I've watched it, they play. They play to the last whistle.
I concur.
Lise, think about one thing. You're asking about poor play, okay? What is the team's record is 1-8.
Yeah.
Poor play
has been the theme. That's why you're 1-8, Lisa. You know, so, I mean, that goes without question. But thank you, as always. Continue stomping. And, you know, be nice to have you call one day when we're talking about a victory, unfortunately.
Oh, now, Russ, I sent you a picture.
You sent me a picture?
On my birthday, on your Twitter account, all my kids came dressed in red and blue on Friday.
I never got a picture.
If you try to check it, they all wore their Giant shirts, and we had a complete Giant party. We had cupcakes, everything. It was really adorable. So if you check on your Twitter, if you happen to see it, you and David take a look at it.
Well, Lisa, do me a favor, send it again, because I certainly would not have missed that. I would have responded to you.
Okay, I'll send it again.
Please do. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, Lisa. All right. Thank you. Take care. Let's go down to Donald in Knoxville, Tennessee. As always, the number 201-939-4513 on Twitter. It is hashtag Giants Chat. Donald, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, Ross, how are you? Hey, David.
How's it going?
Good. You know, I want to make a point or a couple of points, and what's annoying me is listening to some of these Giant fans. You know, some of the things that they don't look at is, David, you'll probably remember this line of David Deal, Rich Seibert, Sean O'Hara, Chris Snee, and Kareem McKenzie. The 2007 Super Bowl line and played the whole season together. Part of the problem that we see on the offense is the shuffling of all these different linemen around, which doesn't build consistency and doesn't build a chemistry, which you guys had and opened up the running game and protected in the pass game. And if you don't have that consistency and you don't have that chemistry, how are you going to run the ball? That's point number one. I'll take your comment on that.
I think you answered it with your comment. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you think about footwork, the mesh on double teams, making sure that you know what the other person's doing on the other side of the ball without even having to communicate. You can do it non-verbally because you've played together. So it makes a big difference in the production that you have as an offense and you as individually as a football player, no question.
Also, in the 2017, you also had wide receivers and running backs who basically made it through the entire season. How do you run a team when basically you have all these injuries that are occurring and people don't want to understand that? You're playing with what I consider to be second stringers at this point, which makes it difficult for Eli to have them run their patterns. To make the line know that they have so much time to deal with to get the ball out of there. I'm one of those that I am a longtime Giant fan. God knows my family brought me up on the Giants, and even though I live in Tennessee, I still watch you guys every single week on DirecTV, and more importantly, when I get up to New York, I watch the games live. So it's like, fans, if you're really a fan, you've got to understand that that's the case. One other point I'd like to make, and then I'll take the answer off the air, is I don't blame Spags, because as much as Spags wants to put a plan in place, once again, you have injuries with the linebackers, you have some defensive linemen that have been hurt this year, and you've had a mass switch around of cornerbacks. And once again, you know, it's not as much that you're that this team is playing a consistent amount of football. You definitely have to look at what the problems have been and give the team a pass if you're truly a Giant fan. And Russ, I definitely think you need to take a little calming down. Mm-hmm. I've got some Valium if you need it.
All right,
Donald.
Talk to you guys soon. All right, thank you. Listen, I understand what Donald is saying. However, I don't think injuries were the problem on defense Sunday. Do you?
What was that?
I'm engulfing
what you're saying.
I don't think injuries were the problem on defense Sunday.
I mean, the injuries are far away from the heart, an effort. I mean, that's something that you do as a competitor. That's something you do as a professional. And there was definitely a lack of effort, and there was people who quit. I've got no issues with saying that whatsoever. None. And, yeah, you do feel bad for Coach Spagnuolo because – you know how much he is invested in this, just like all the coaches. You know how hard he works and trying to put people in position to make plays.
Well, what?
But at the same time,
Ben's not working hard.
No, that's what I said. Yeah, coaches,
it's everybody.
Yeah. But I said at the same time, when you get a call as a player, it's up for you to execute it. It's up for you to do your job to the best of your ability. Plain and simple.
And that's why, folks, whether you like it or not, that's why ownership did what they did. They have to look at the entire situation. Everybody. Coaches, players, everybody. Front office, everybody. As Dave said so well, a Band-Aid doesn't stop a hemorrhage. And believe me, the last 2 weeks in particular, that was a massive hemorrhage. Let's go to our friend in Columbia, Maryland, and speak with a longtime Giants fan, Len. Lenny, how are we doing today?
Well, how you doing, guys?
Probably better than you, Len. Probably
well,
better than you.
I'm trying to hang in there. Obviously, it's a very disappointing season. Very disappointed in how things have turned out. But let me say this. I just want to use the following phrase as kind of a theme for what I really want to talk about. And that I think right now the Giants are just a bad team playing bad. I mean, it can't get any worse than that. You're a bad team, and on top of that, you're playing bad. But I want to say I support ownership's position on this. I think they've done the right thing with this. I think McAdoo and the coach now, if Ben wants to make some changes amongst his assistant coaches, change responsibilities, that's his responsibility to do that. I also think it's his responsibility and the other coaches to talk about disciplining some of these players who don't seem to be committed. That's a word I used last week when we talked, guys, who don't seem to be committed to the game, to an individual play. And I think they're being watched. I think that evaluation over the next seven games by ownership is going to be, how do the coaches handle this?
Yep.
How do they handle this discipline issue? And it's not just their future with the Giants, David and Russ. I think their future as coaches in the NFL are at stake here.
That's exactly what I said earlier, Len.
People are going to be watching how they handle this situation.
Yep.
And I think the owners are going to be watching it all.
Well, Len,
that was exactly what I was talking about earlier, Len, on the show, is that everybody's under a microscope right now. Players and coaches, and the eye in the sky does not lie. And this is something that you talk about sometimes. You get cuts. But eventually, when you have cuts like this season, cuts turn into scars. And how do those coaches respond when the cuts are happening? And that's now where we'll see with this organization, you know, from the top down, the evaluation process of who's going to be a part of the solution and who is a part of the problem.
Lenny.
I wanted to say one more thing, but go ahead, Russ.
But Lenny, just what you're talking about, listen, it's not as if nothing's been done. You're talking about that you had a couple of suspensions in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe now there's a real reason why there were suspensions.
Yep.
Not that there wasn't a reason before, but now it's more glaring. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it's up to the coaches to handle that. That's clearly in their responsibility. Ownership is not going to suspend Janoris Jenkins. It's going to be up to the coaches to, you know, not play him or however you want to however you want to phrase it. Let me say one other thing, and this is along the same lines as your just previous callers. Look, let's face facts, guys. We probably have 20, at least 20 guys on this team right now, on this 53 right now, who can't play at this level, guys. They can't play at this level. And we got at least 5, 6, or 7 of them starting. I mean, I don't. You can't get blood from a turnip. I mean, this is just a bad group of people. Now, they're tremendous athletes, and I admire them greatly, all of them. But in the end, the matchups were. We're overmatched. I mean, we just don't have the play. Look at the linebackers. We started some guys last weekend who weren't even on the roster 2 weeks ago. I mean, what do we expect from these guys? And you know what? I mean, it's just a terrible, frustrating situation. But, you know, it's a lot of things coming together. But, guys, the players just aren't there. I'm not making an excuse for us on the injury. I'm just saying. I mean, injuries are reality. I mean, it's a reality.
Well, especially in the NFL, yes.
Yes, especially in the NFL, but... I mean, geez, and I hate to be knocking guys and saying 20, 25 guys who can't play in the NFL, but, I mean, you go down it unit by unit, David, Russ, I mean, what do we expect? I mean, how do we match up against the Chiefs? I mean, it's a very, very tough situation.
Well,
look, thanks. Yeah, I'm obviously – everybody's frustrated. But, listen, I support ownership in this move.
Yep.
I support them.
I do, too.
And now it's up to the coaches – show me something. Even if you're not going to be with the Giants next year, I believe your NFL future is on the line with
no
how
question.
You handle this. And it's not just wins and losses. It's not just the wins and losses.
But you know what?
All right, guys.
You know what, Len? One thing before you go. It's not just coaches show me something. How about some of these high-priced players showing me something?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, obviously. And if they're not, if they're going to go out there and show the lack of commitment that, I mean, they hate to keep bringing the guy's name up. You don't have to be a football fan to note what Janoris Jenkins was doing.
No, listen to me. You're talking about a guy that's bingo. You just nailed it. At 5 years, $62.5 million. Show me what you got, okay? Show me some get up and go and show me some character and show me, we said this, David and I said this weeks ago. When this season, you know, when everything started to flounder and everything started to go backwards, we looked at each other. The rest of the season is going to be a test of character.
Yeah.
Well, I
got to
tell you.
Let me just say one other thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Len, we
got to
get other guys on.
Go ahead.
Man.
Real quick, Len, what up?
Okay. I always get a kick out of when Ben talks about getting people on the ground because it reminds me of my Pee Wee football experience. And the first thing the coach said to us, you know, 12, 15 kids getting ready to kind of join this team and play on this team. And he said to us, now, look, you know, the goal on defense is find the guy who's got the ball and jump on top of him and throw him in the ground. And here I am 60 years later, and Ben is talking about getting a guy on the ground.
Yeah, well,
that's what it's all about. Get to find the ball carrier and knock him on his butt.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
All right, Lenny, thank you very much. Always appreciate it. Really, what you saw last week, you know, from the defensive side, that was pretty basic. Tackling.
Yeah, fundamentals.
that was fundamentals.
Who else do we got?
We got Steve in South Carolina. Steve.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Question you all first, and then a question for David. Did Spags even get a look when Coughlin resigned or so-called resigned? Did he even get a look, or was it just, you know, automatic McAdoo?
No. I believe that he got interviewed as well.
Yeah, because I just think he had a better rapport overall, you know. You look at his attitude and the way he handles himself in the media and with the players, you know, there's only so much he can do if he's got a guy over top of him. So that being said is, David, question to you is, over the last, let's say, 8 years, have you seen or how drastic of a shift have you seen in the overall players' character, attitude, and the entire NFL, not just the Giants? And I can kind of reference it by looking at the veterans that are our team, Casillas, JVP, DRC, Snacks, these guys have great attitudes. These other young players coming up, it's like they don't care. I mean, you look at the Jalen Ramsey and the A.J. Green incident. Jalen Ramsey acted like he didn't give a crap about that. And A.J. Green took it to heart. He had true character in standing up and saying, I was wrong. I did what was wrong. I mean, that, you know, to me, I see a huge shift in that.
There is. It's a, you see a different breed of athlete coming into the NFL, and younger players don't realize the magnitude, I think, of what they're getting into and the responsibility of what it takes to be a player in the NFL. And there is. There's a different attitude when it comes to that stuff. But like I said, the teams that have had the success, the two Super Bowl teams I was on in 07 and 11, you could go to the Steelers, you can go to the Patriots, you can go to the Seahawks. A huge majority of their roster were players that were brought into that organization and were into their second contract with that organization because they know what it takes. They're proud, and they work hard, and they represent that organization with pride because they know what it symbolizes and what it means.
You know, Steve, you bring out an interesting point, but it's not just – I mean, when you talk about young players – the world has changed. It's not even just football. We're talking about
I see it as a business owner. Trust me.
Trust me. You know, when you're talking about social media and Twitter and Facebook and everything and Instagram. And
the thing for me that I've always said that's so different now with athletes is, you know, their feelings. Coaching is making men and people do what they don't want to do so they can become what they want to become. From the time that I was a kid till the time that I retired as a Giant, we are yelling at what you did, not as you as a person, not at you individually, not at you as your heart and your character. And you go out, and when I coach kids, I coach them hard. And you see kids right away falter. How could you say that? Because I'm being honest. Life is going to kick you in the teeth. And if you can't handle it in sports and on the football field, when adversity hits, how are you going to handle it when life throws stuff at you?
You know, Steve, thank you for the call, but it's not just in football. I mean, Dave's alluding to, you know, a coaches, you know, what a coach would say or a coach would do.
Yeah, it's everything.
But you want to, I mean, it's teachers, it's everything.
Yeah.
The world has changed.
You know how many times I've had younger people coming out of college or whatever, hey, can you get me a job? I'm like, you realize how hard I had to work to get a job? Like, things don't just get handed to
you.
Earn it.
I mean, listen, I can tell you from looking at interns, you know, not particularly in this place because
anywhere.
The interns, but you can see interns. I remember, you know, sitting over at Channel 5, walking through a newsroom. You have some interns coming from the great schools and this and that.
Yeah.
Some of them are sitting there. Oh, they're sitting, looking at the thing, and let me see, check out the scores and this
different.
And that. And then you get other ones who are totally self-motivated.
That are running all over the place.
The world has changed. But right now, our world right now is 1-8. That is it, and it ain't changing unless something changes. Well, it's going to change one way or the other on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's either going to be 2-8 or 1-9. What happens remains to be seen. If you want to talk about that, we can talk about it tomorrow. In the meantime, for David Deal, I'm Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. And as I said, we'll see you tomorrow.